When Helen Burridge, manager of St Albans Bid, came into the studio a few weeks ago, we talked afterwards about not just her job and what she does, but also the issues that she faces as manager and those that she's trying to work on. And one of the ones that came to the top is obviously retail, because the High Street, the business district, has a lot of shops in it. Now, Helen, the common view around the world, it seems, is that retail is on its last legs. The High Street's going to go, because we see chains closing, individual shops closing, because they're having a tough time. We know it's a difficult time for all sorts of reasons.
People will always need to buy things. There was a move post-war, the idea of the consumer and buying stuff because you could and because it was there and because it was new reached a little bit of a climax, if you like, in the 90s. I read an article of an entire city that people worked in shops during the week in order to buy things in the shops at the weekend. And it's this sort of hellish circle down to the bottom where you just keep on buying stuff. I don't think that's where we are now. I think things like Blue Planet and people having smaller houses and moving more often means that people are not able to accumulate stuff in the same way. But also I think people, it's feeling a bit distasteful to just keep on buying. So people are choosing more wisely. They have less money in their pocket, as the phrase goes, because rents are higher, mortgages have cost more, people are still paying off student loans, wages stagnation, all those other things that we know about. But people are still buying things. People still need new clothes when the sun comes out and they've worn out the last outfit. The kids still need to have new shoes. You still get your saucepans that wear out. People also still celebrate things. There's weddings, there's births, there's all sorts of things. So there are many and various opportunities to buy, but the consumer is being much more careful about what they buy. They are, the studies are looking now, very well researched and quite savvy about what influences their buying decisions. And so within that climate, absolutely, the idea of browsing on the Saturday to go and find something that you might want to wear that night, that just doesn't happen anymore. People come on a Saturday morning and they know, if they haven't already bought it online by the Friday night, they know that there are three dresses that they want to try in that shop and that shop. They might even do a online order to deliver to store to make sure that their size is in stock. They can try on and return it straight away. That's relatively common, but the trying on factor is important. The comparison is important, but they already know that this store doesn't have the kind of thing they're looking for. This one doesn't. This one does. This one. They already know what the washing requirements are for that dress. And actually, that's not suitable to the requirements. All the things that factor what your choices are well researched way beyond they walk through that door in a large amount of the cases. And so the High Street isn't dead. The way that people use the High Street has changed enormously in the last 10 years. And bricks and mortar and the internet, the clicks, that whole bricks to clicks and the relationship between the two is a developing field that people are still really understanding how that behavior changes. I don't see a future which only has clicks, but I do think that there will be a reduction in the bricks. There are a lot of interesting statistics around the relationship between bricks to clicks. Businesses see an increase in their web traffic when they open a store in a particular area. So even if that store then becomes an advert on the street, there will be an increase in traffic to that website and therefore an increase in purchases if they have a store. So there is a benefit there. But it might be actually that the stock volume isn't required as much because actually it's more of a showroom and an experience and you can walk through the Instagram world of another online retailer in a bricks and mortar store that's on Oxford Street but not actually buy anything there because you can see the kinds of things you want and then order them home.
Does St Albans strike you as a retail centre where there are lots of individual shops rather than lots of identikit shops?
There was a footfall survey done by a company that monitors footfall across the country, and they divided the country's cities, towns and villages into four different types and tracked the footfall footprint, if you like, of each of those four cities, four types of city rather. So one of them is the seaside town, the coastal idea where you go along. And so the peak is obviously in August and there are seaside attraction retail at that place, but a lot of them close over the winter. So the footfall drops off in the winter. The other kind is a multifunctional town where it kind of serves the business community. And you wouldn't really spend a weekend away there or anything else like that. So I'm sort of thinking the sort of Hemel Hempsteads of this world that serve the purpose of providing a commerce and retail environment for the residents and a catchment around it. That's multifunctional. Then there is the retail or comparison town or city. And I would suggest that Watford is this kind of city, or Bluewater, for example, which has a high number of quality and value chains and independents, a large catchment and good, strong transport links where the peak of footfall is in December because that's where the retail shopping happens for Christmas. That's somewhere like the Watfords, the Oxford Streets, that kind of thing. There's a secret fourth option, which they've labelled as speciality, where the anchor is something other than retail. heritage, culture, a particular theatre, a particular attraction, and a good mix of independent and national brands. The national provides a little bit of gravitas, if you like, or a little bit of authentication that it's not just local shops, I'm using inverted commas. A wide catchment area and a longer dwell time because people are coming there to do things other than just simply shop. Interestingly, on that footfall map, the footfall is lower at Christmas than it is in August because actually you're looking at weekends away, you're looking at summertime. Mooching around the shops as an incidental to the reason that people are coming is to see the town and not just find a dress that night. And I think St. Albans probably falls more into the speciality than it does the comparison retail model. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think knowing what our strengths are, in order to answer your original question, we have a good range of quality brands and we have an excellent range of quality independents. And with that mix, you can be sure that you will get what you need for a range of different requirements, whether it's a tourism, an incidental, I'm just going to grab something while I'm here visiting with my friend, through to people that will travel significant distances across the country to go to one particular boutique that has actually the perfectly curated identity that really maps to who it is you want to be and what you want your lifestyle to be. And you know that their selection of goods will map and won't be something that you can find somewhere that the brand might be in your own hometown. And I think that's that combination that St. Albans does really well.
Those independents have to be telling the market what they're up to, even if the market doesn't walk past their shop window every day.
Absolutely. And the way that retail has changed is this idea of footfall being the panacea to all ills. I don't think that people wander around looking for a board to tell them what they want. People know what they want. They've already researched it. Even if they don't know that they need it from that store, they're already thinking, I've seen leopard print everywhere. I want to find some leopard print for me, or I'm looking for a present for my mum, or whatever it is. They're following Instagram, the Twitters, the social medias of this world. They're seeing what their friends are doing. They're reading magazines. They are finding the trends, seeing things. And even if they're not high trends, the echo chamber works in retail as well. So you're following people whose style matches to what you want your style to be. You're looking for people, whether you like the style of Davina McCall or Theresa May, you will find an echo chamber of that style within the magazines that you choose, within the social feeds that you follow. That means that you will probably see similar styles and trends coming up, and you will, as a consumer, find the brands, or the brands will find you if they're using the search engine optimization properly. The brands will find you to say, yes, we're your kind of people. You're our tribe. We are doing what you need us to do. And we are selecting out of the myriad billions of options that the internet provides you with. And we are telling you that this is what you should be getting. And this is what will suit you for the wedding that you've got coming up, or your holiday, or whatever.
The retailer needs to understand how to use these new media and new ways of reaching out to a broader audience to encourage them to come in. Where does that link then to the bricks and clicks? Does the typical St. Albans, very good shop, we see so many quality retail outlets in St. Albans, do they have to have what you call bricks and clicks? Do they have to have the opportunity to buy online?
That's the point that a lot of independents who are, as we all are, time poor, cash poor, completely frazzled, trying to make sure that they've got in stock all the right things. They're thinking about three seasons ahead and working more hours than most, because if someone calls in sick, then the person that owns the business is there on the shop floor the next day. If you suddenly go and you need to create an online shop and you need to map your stock to that and make sure that it's all up to date, then suddenly that becomes an enormous investment. People are looking at virtual reality to be able to look around someone's store in advance, and AI and goodness knows what else. Ultimately, the individual shops need to see what is it that they can do to increase the number of visits to their store. What is it you can do to increase the conversion rate of visits to purchases? And what are the pain points that are stopping your customer doing that? And so is it that they see something that they like that you've put on Instagram? I've seen a lot of times people commenting underneath particular local independent boutiques that I'm thinking of, where they say, I've seen this thing. Oh my God, I wanted you to have it in size 12. Yes, we're getting some more on a Friday. I'll put you on a side. Give us a call in the shop. You don't get that from a national brand. And that's a really exciting way to have that dialogue. And all you're doing is snapping it and saying, look at this lovely person who looks a bit like you, is living the same life that you're living, and is buying this outfit from this store, and you can look this fabulous too. And I'm loath to mention particular brands because guaranteed if I do, then somebody else will say that I haven't mentioned them. But there are some really, really exciting and different ways for different businesses to engage with different audiences. And even if it's sponsored posts or promoting hashtags and all that kind of thing, the way that Instagram works is you follow individual businesses or individual accounts of individual people or companies. But you can also follow hashtags. And the hashtag is, it's the element of discovery. With Facebook, it's a closed environment where you select whose stuff you see, sponsored posts notwithstanding. But with the hashtag, so we had a hashtag for a fashion event that we did in October called Style St. Albans. And so it was hashtag Style St. Albans. And what I wanted to see from that was anyone taking part in that event would have that hashtag as part of anything that they posted, so that if you're following that hashtag, you will see and you will be exposed to businesses that you would not otherwise either know were in the city or think that was for you. And so then we created that photography of these amazing outfits, but also shared the models' fittings and all the trying out in advance and everything else to really bring it home that this was a local but high quality event that was relevant to the people that were local, and created that momentum online so that you could see what brands were available to you. So the hashtag is a bit of a, I'm interested in that and I want to see more about it. So if you follow the hashtag St. Albans, then you will see everyone that comes to St. Albans here. And it might be that it's a gym or somebody taking pictures of daisies in Hartwood Forest, or it might be somebody going to Vermont St. Albans. But either way, you'll be seeing different things that showcase ideas that you wouldn't have been aware of before. And that's what I think is really interesting about social media, is that idea of discovery and the potential then to join up the retail to the bricks to the clicks, because then you're seeing ideas. This idea of infiltrating more information into your brain, you don't really realize that's how marketing works. And then you see a trend that appears, and then you start going there as well and spending your money. And that's obviously what we need to make the world go around. I think with BHS being turned into a hotel or whatever's happening to Debenhams, it's a really scary time for the big players. Business rates are really challenging. Rents are really challenging. And that race to the bottom in terms of price is really challenging, particularly with the showrooming element.
What do you mean by showrooming element?
Showrooming is a common complaint in St. Albans, but in a lot of shops, where the customer spends a good deal of time using the shop assistant's knowledge and experience to compare a number of different products or to say, I need this, what kind of thing should I get? And then will either be as blatant as taking a photograph of the item and then saying thanks and walking out, or then bartering and saying, I've seen this same thing, or even standing in there and Googling it, finding a cheaper price online and then asking for the discount. And I think it's a really difficult one, because on one hand, the argument is, well, that's what the consumer's job is to do, to find the best value. But you've just used the ability to walk in and to use somebody's brain who's got a salary that needs to be paid, the heating bills need to be paid, and everyone else needs in that building needs to be looked after. And you've used that experience and that expertise, and then you're not thanking them with your payment. And I think that's really, really challenging. In the world of what's a reliable review, we've just discovered that Amazon has got, shockingly, millions of reviews that are completely created by robots. Which magazine is doing a good job trying to promote the fact that it is actually a legitimate reviewer? Good Housekeeping is doing similar. But everyone's trying to get this race to the bottom in terms of, I get what I want and I'll get the best price for it. I find it challenging when there is an instant, the high street is dying. Gosh, everything's so expensive. You can't have it both ways. You need to put your money where your mouth is.
And I guess we'll come back in another subsequent meeting and really talk about what is the meaning of the citizen, because there is an implied question there, which is, if you don't support, you don't have.
Absolutely.
And when you don't have, what's the point in being there? Will you stay at home all the time? You
know? Well, exactly. Now, yeah.
And so always we've got the benefit of museums and town halls, all that. We'll come back to that on another issue, but I think it's there waiting for us. The use of new technology, or the constant developments of new technology, we know it's going to be different and more next year. It's quite demanding, as you said in the beginning. I mean, you know, retailers are busy, particularly if it's a specialist shop. They haven't got time to develop. How can you help the stores, or do they just have to find somebody who can be their webmaster, social media manager, call it what you will?
I'm a great believer in controlling the controllables and keeping it simple. So we've created a Shop St. Albans Facebook and social media feed on Instagram, and we have created the St. Albans gift card. So the social feeds aim to help emphasize promotions that local shops are having. So, for example, there is an amazing kitchenware shop in St. Albans that bakes fresh bread every day just to demonstrate how good their ovens are. And they often want to tell people about that. And it's a national brand. They only have the national social media feeds to talk about, but not all their shops do that. So they don't have a means to talk about that. So if we can help amplify what it is that they're doing, we can use our social feeds to do that. Otherwise, it's very much a case of controlling the controllables and making sure that what you're doing really, really well. Because as we all know, you have a good experience, you'll tell five people. You have a bad experience, you'll tell 50 people. They said Auburn's Gift Card is a really exciting project that I'm really pleased that we've brought here, which is a geographically limited gift card. And you can only spend it in bricks and mortar stores in the city centre of St Albans. So you can buy it online or you can buy it in person in the city centre. And in the same way that if you're wondering what to get for your awkward teen or your mother or any of those hard to buy for people or even your teacher even, you can then use it to spend on shops, nationals and independents, on restaurants, on haircuts, on food and drink, in pubs. And it means that you're basically giving the gift of St Albans and saying to somebody, I think this city is so awesome that you will definitely find some way to spend 50 quid there. Go nuts. And it's a really good way to get people to walk in the city. What we've discovered is that there is about a 50% uplift in terms of spend because people in their mind have got a free £50. So they'll probably buy something that's worth £100. It might not normally, rather than saying, well, I'm going to limit it to the £50 that I've got. So if you're thinking of buying somebody an Amazon gift card or another shopping centre or anywhere else, think about the local one. The nice thing is as well, it is only bricks and mortar. So even if it is one of the nationals that they could buy online, you can then do that instead. So I think that's a really interesting way of doing it. We're also looking at the Enjoy St Albans website and providing training to businesses on how to improve their SEO. It's all about links back and forth between your website and others. So even if your website is a showcase of a few good things that you're doing and then your Twitter and Instagram feed, that's enough. Because then people might find that and then think about who those audiences are, who are your brand ambassadors, who can you get to talk about your business and how brilliant it is, because then they will tell their friends as well.
We haven't got time to go on. It's a real pain. We're going to probably come back to retail in a few different ways as we look at the city in from different perspectives. Thanks very much.
Thank you.